Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I'm Scott Trout, CEO of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. We help men deal with the life changes triggered by divorce, such as child custody and property division, among many others. But life changes also occur after divorce. These changes can make parts of your existing court order irrelevant or harder to follow. If you feel a modification to your court orders might be necessary, talk to us at Cordell & Cordell. We're a partner men can count on.
Contact CordellCordell.com. 1065 East Hillsdale Boulevard, Suite 310, Foster City, California, 94404.
You are listening to The Bird Calls. For more breakdowns on the Pelicans, including interviews with coaches, journalists, and opposing experts, go to iTunes, search The Bird Calls, and subscribe today. What's up, Pels fans? Welcome to a super late past my bedtime edition of the Bird Calls, but it doesn't matter because we won a playoff game with Anthony Davis. I'm Preston Ellis. I'm joined by Kevin Berrios and David Grubb. Thank you both for staying up so late. Kevin, I'm going to start with you. Follow him at Kevin B for balance. And of course, David Grubb at DM Grubb. Kevin, so much to unpack here. I don't really even know what to say. You just said off the air, it was kind of like Jrue Holiday was the MVP of the first quarter, Anthony Davis the second quarter, Nikola Mirotic the third quarter, and then early on in the fourth, it was Anthony Davis. Jrue Holiday was the closer. Anthony Davis, at one point, I looked at a stat line.
Hi, this is Scott Trout, CEO of the domestic litigation firm Cordell & Cordell. There are many life changes that can happen after divorce that make it difficult or impossible to uphold requirements of your divorce decree. The orders issued in a divorce are based on the facts presented at that time, but the circumstances used in issuing those orders can obviously change. If you feel a modification to your court orders might be necessary, talk to us at Cordell & Cordell.
Contact CordellCordell.com. 1065 East Hillsdale Boulevard, Suite 310, Foster City, California, 94404.
Four blocks and three steals, and I haven't even looked at Jrue Holiday's stat line yet, but I think just based on the eyeball test, this guy looks like the best perimeter defender in the NBA. Shut down Dame and CJ to the tune of 1 of 15 in the first half. Like, just tell us your emotions right now following that 19-point lead down by just one with 2 minutes to play. How are you feeling?
Yeah, man, it was wild. I think, early on, it looked like it was a sloppy game. Our heads weren't in it. We're making some careless turnovers, and you were starting to get worried. But then you see that we were just hanging in there no matter what. Things weren't really going our way. It wasn't getting away from us. Defense was staying focused. And then, you knew towards the end of the second half, in the second quarter, you could see the offense starting to catch fire and things getting crisper. And then that explosion happened, and you were like, all right, man, we're going to win this game. But then that doubt will always creep in when those two guys start hitting shots. And then that, sure enough, we started shooting ourselves in the foot. We were beating ourselves up, but terrible passes, bad decisions, just back-to-back turnovers, let them right back in the game. But then, our stars locked in defensively, and closed that game out, and it was great. And that block by Jrue at the end was just phenomenal. And, he was owed that because he had two great blocks in that game against Portland, and that one at the end of the game against Portland in New Orleans where we lost, that felt like a play that was going to cause you to win that game. When you have a play like that, it's like, okay, we're going to win this now, and we didn't. So I felt like he was owed that, and we got it, and it's just it was a fantastic game for Jrue. I think, a lot of national people are starting to understand why we've been clamoring and singing Jrue's praises for so long.
Yeah, definitely. I think we just lost Grubb, but I think one of the focal points that we were talking about going into this. Oh, sorry. Who did we just lose?
You it doesn't. Hey, man.
Ollie, oh my God. Ollie just dropped in. Oh my God. I'm losing my mind. Okay, David, no disrespect to you. Welcome to Ollie, editor-in-chief of thebirdrights.com. Ollie, we were just talking to Kevin about some of the factors that led to this victory. Of course, the two things we were most concerned with going into it was the backcourt of Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, who were held to 13 of 41 on the night, plus 15 offensive rebounds. But I don't even care about that. Just tell me about, like, your blood pressure levels right now heading into that fourth quarter. We had a comfortable 12-point lead, saw it erased rapidly. How are you feeling, sir?
I am so faint and lightheaded right now. It's unbelievable. You knew they were going to make a run. The Blazers are always going to make a run on their home court with those two guards, as you just mentioned, and the Pelicans. Wow, those turnovers. I'm at a loss for words, but honestly, Preston, this is like the biggest win I think I've ever seen. Well, at least maybe in about 10 years for the Pelicans. It's unbelievable that they were able to hold on. And it's a true testament to the defense. And, of course, Drew Holiday. Wow. I mean, if he doesn't come up with that strip and then that block in like the last 2 minutes of the game, the Pelicans lose this, no doubt, because they couldn't get anything going offensively. You saw that. The ball movement died. They were not getting easy looks at the rim. They were settling for jumpers. I mean, the points just dried up. So they had to figure out a way to get somehow, some way at the end of the game, and it was through the defense. I'm shaking, guys. I'm literally shaking.
David, of course, follow David at DM Grub from Crescent City Sports. Pick whatever topic you want at this point, David. It's kind of a free-for-all. With that being said, I don't know if you remember back to the 2010-11 season with Jarrett Jack with that critical final make with just, I think it was like 15 seconds left on the assist from CP3. Put this into perspective, not just like in terms of jubilation, but in terms of like in the past 7 years, is this the It's obviously the biggest victory in terms of Anthony Davis' young career, but just in terms of like blood pressure, how are you feeling capitalizing on top of a Blazers team that we were comfortable to play versus the upstart 7-seed team beating the second-seeded Lakers? Which one like carries more weight?
I think this is a bigger one just because the way it ended, the way that this team played down the stretch, and especially Drew Holiday's effort defensively. But, you know, they didn't fall into that trap that they've fallen into where there was a brief period in the first half where they had a lead and they had to let it get cut. And then they did it in the second half and they had a lead and let it get cut. But like we've seen out of this team over and over again this year is that they continue to fight. And I've said that there, it's not always pretty, but they continue to fight. And so I think that to me says a lot about the character of the team. It says a lot about the character of the coaching staff that they were able to get through to guys and focus on their responsibilities down the stretch. And ultimately, the way I view this game is if someone came to me who had never watched the Pelicans before and they say, what is it like to watch the Pelicans? This game is the entire season in four quarters. You know, this is just like what Washington is always about. These great periods of execution and athleticism and wonderment when they're executing at their peak. And then just that confusion of what the hell are they doing when they're throwing the ball away or the offense just stops. And then that resiliency that you see, that guys step up and make plays that maybe don't show up on box scores and don't get you stats to win major awards. But you see them and you, if you appreciate the game of basketball, you see how valuable those plays are. And I think that's what this team did tonight.
Kevin, when you look at the team statistics, just in general, this was a much slower pace than the Pelicans are used to playing. David just said this is like kind of typical for the Pelicans, and it truly is. I think something like 20 of the past 30 games have been 7 to 8 points or less. And of course, the Pelicans were like 17-4 in games decided by 5 points or less before that three-game sweep to the Cavaliers, the Oklahoma City Thunder, and I can't remember who the third team was, probably the Trailblazers, because I remember the Rockets one wasn't that close. But with that being said, in this one, when you just look at the stat sheet, you see offensive rebounds, the Blazers have the advantage. You see fast break points, the Blazers have a very comfortable advantage, 29-17. And the Pelicans had 12 fewer shots than Blazers based on some of those second chance opportunities. But with that being said, it wasn't the offense that led the Pelicans to this victory with just 97 points, something the Pelicans have been ranked number one or two at all season long, whether with Boogie or without Boogie. It was the defense. Talk about how the culture of the New Orleans Pelicans has just completely shifted in the past 2 months to to they're becoming incredible help defenders. They're trapping. They're providing double teams on guys like Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. Is this the team that the Pelicans always had, or have they turned it up a notch?
I mean, I think feel like they've definitely turned it up a notch. We've talked about Jrue Holiday, how he was always a very, very good defender. But since the All-Star break, he seems to have taken it up to another notch. And, you know, it's like, what is the level above elite perimeter defender? And that's what Jrue is playing at. He's like above elite right now. And then Anthony Davis, early on in the season, we saw him coast defensively from time to time. But he's been completely engaged in the last month and a half on that defensive end, racking up blocks, just making hustle plays a lot. I mean, we saw some great recovery from him on a block tonight. And I just think that's trickling down. And then you have a more engaged Rondo, which we know as the games start meaning more, he seemingly plays better. And then he's a great communicator on that end. So that's getting everybody else going. And then I think somewhat the matchups are a little bit better on the perimeter as well with some of the rotations that we have going on. And then you're right there. We are seeing smarter traps and things like that too, which is obviously a scheme thing. We don't know if that was in place and it just wasn't happening, or if guys were lost and are now more in tuned as the season goes on, or it's being more drilled in their head because of the importance. But yeah, there's definitely a greater defensive intensity than what we have seen, especially pre-All-Star break, but even, a month and a half ago.
Ali, talk about an MVP. Obviously, Jrue Holiday is going to get all the claim that he's been lacking all season long. Everybody's going to be talking about him over the next 3 days until the next contest on Tuesday. But outside of Jrue Holiday and his incredible impact on both ends of the floor, you've got Anthony Davis, who is averaging, I think, 36 points and like 11 and a half rebounds in his two contests with the Blazers today. And he was pretty on point with those averages. He came away with 35 points, 14 rebounds, 4 blocks and 2 steals. But also in terms of like coaching, Alvin Gentry stuck with Nikola Mirotic. We were all kind of pulling for, you know, Emeka Okafor to kind of mitigate what Jusuf Nurkić had been doing. He allowed the Blazers to get their offensive rebounds, just trusting his team to play incredible defense. And Mirotic paid off a plus 13 on the night, 16 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists, including that incredible, much needed fourth quarter assist to Anthony Davis that came to that easy dunk. Outside of Jrue Holiday, Ali, who impressed you the most in this one?
I've got to go with Rondo, because the only reason the Pelicans built at, what was it? I forget what the league got up to. It was almost 20 points, right, guys?
19.
Yeah. So when they got to that point, it was all strictly thanks to Rondo. I thought that he did a great job at the time. I remember tweeting out in like towards the end of the third quarter where he was coming up huge on the defensive glass. His 8 rebounds took away potentially 8 offensive rebounds for the Blazers, who finished with 15 offensive rebounds. That's crazy. When you look at the stat line, Preston, the Pelicans shouldn't have won this game. They shot 33% from 3-point range, gave up, made 14 turnovers, and I've already just mentioned the amount of offensive rebounds they gave up. And they were held to under 100 points. That's usually been a very bad sign for the Pelicans, who, as we all know, have relied on their offense to win games this season. So for the defense to come up absolutely clutch, yeah, I know that the Trailblazers outscored the Pels 32-22 in the final quarter. But again, that was because it basically became a battle royale out there. And you know what? I was worried, and I think that was my biggest worry, is for the large portion of that fourth quarter, the Blazers played with the bigger intensity. They had the more, you know, decisive effort where they were coming up with all the 50-50 balls. They were the ones that were kind of pushing, kind of shoving, and give credit to the referees. They called a consistent game where they weren't going to call anything. Outside of like a touch foul or two, they didn't call anything. But over the final 2-3 minutes, the Pelicans kind of stepped it up on that end, like I said. And it was, you know, Jrue Holiday started that off with his 2 defensive plays. But there was a lot of big moments for a lot of Pelicans players. You touched on AD. His stat line's sensational. And I think Nikola Mirotic deserves a lot of credit, too. I think, honestly, tonight the Pelicans only won the game simply because they had a big four out there. Everybody in Fox Sports News or in New Orleans is talking about this new big three, but you got to include Rondo. So to me, it's like a big four, and they all showed up brightly and strongly and all, you know, put their stamp on this game. And, the role players, I mean, outside of Ian Clark making a few shots, of course, that big three-pointer he had was absolutely huge. But other than that, the team was totally carried by 4 guys on the team. against this Blazers squad, who's a really, they're relentless. That's one thing you should take away from this game. The Blazers never quit. They gave it their best shot. And sure, they didn't have some shots going, but the Pelicans just took, I think, their, you know, the best punch a Portland hand had on the night, and they walked away victorious. I mean, Kevin touched on it, and so is David. This is a very resilient team. We've seen it all year. They tied with the Cleveland Cavaliers for the most wins in crunch time. I think it was with 30. So it's just absolutely appropriate that they won this one in the final few minutes of the game.
Yeah, and I definitely love Rajon Rondo on Evan Turner, and I hope something that will continue. Of course, Turner tried to take advantage of him in the post, and as soon as he backed him into the post, that collected some of Anthony Davis' four blocks, as well as Nikola Mirotic's four blocks. With that being said, Grubb, pick a topic that you want, but I do want somebody to give some kind of soliloquy to one of the best players in the game, Anthony Davis. 35 points, 14 rebounds, 4 blocks, 2 steals. He started out kind of slow with the free throw line, just 2 of 4, but he made them when he counted. He hit his last 5 free throws, including an and-one early on in the fourth quarter, and then 4 consecutive free throws to seal the game. Talk about how big Anthony Davis was. I know that we're taking it in for granted, and I know that we're giving so much acclaim to Jrue Holiday because he has sorely missed it and deserved it this season. But with that being said, Anthony Davis was by far the best player on the court in this matchup, and we thought that he would be going into it, and he just proved it to all of us.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that you take away from AD tonight was that he went to the basket and got to the free throw line. Ali and I have talked about this a lot, that when AD gets in the lane, there's a lot of times where he'll veer away from the contact so he can try to get the shot off. And in the playoffs, it's more important sometimes to get the foul call than it is to get the shot, to put the other team in the penalty. And Davis was aggressive in doing that tonight on the offensive end. Now, you saw when his legs kind of wore down in the second half that he started to settle for a few more jumpers. But he saved that energy on the offensive end and applied it on the defensive end. He was still scrapping, getting on the floor after blocking a shot. He was right in the mix. And he wasn't just, just relying on covering for people's mistakes on defense. He was actively defending. He probably had his best complete game defensively that I've seen him in a while, just in being able to cover multiple guys, staying in. I thought a couple of the fouls were tic-tac fouls, but, you know, that's going to happen in the playoffs and on the road. But AD, when they needed him, each time he and Jrue both responded. AD set the tone early on. So I think that was just a big, a piece for this team was that if your best player doesn't come out of the gate firing, it's a lot harder for everybody else. And there was that brief struggle for the Pelicans to put the ball in the basket, but AD started getting it going. And the rest of the guys in that starting unit started to fall behind him. So that was – I thought that Anthony did everything that he could do tonight. He was a leader. And that was one of the things I was most excited about seeing in this series, was he going to step up and continue to not just produce a stat line, but to really be the leader of the team and show that guys could get on his back. The second thing is I just you see what adjustments the Pelicans are going to have to make as you look ahead to game two. That kind of – was something that I thought about throughout the second half, is that, A, the Pelicans are going to have to play, in my opinion, Okafor and give him some minutes to help on the glass. Not a lot of minutes, but the Blazers rotate so many bigs onto the floor over the course of the game. You're going to wear down Mirotić and Davis, so you've got to be able to give them a breather with guys who can collect rebounds. And the other thing is that they're going to have to make an adjustment when Shabazz Napier comes in the game, because he sees Rajon Rondo and his eyes light up and he's able to get to the rim, or he's able to get the shots that he wants. Rondo just can't cover his quickness. And so the Pelicans, I think, I think Shabazz will get more minutes as he did in the last two games when the Pelicans played the Blazers in the regular season. And then defensively, that's going to have to be an adjustment. And then the third thing is just, the Blazers are not going to shoot this way in every game. So the Pelicans are going to have to continue to increase the tempo. They only got up 86 shots tonight, and the Blazers got up nearly 100. That has to change. The Pelicans have to get near 100 again, increase the pace. And part of that comes from not turning the ball over and just some of that shot selection too. that they had, and now, of course, giving the Blazers extra possessions with the offensive glass.
And just to give you guys an idea of what we're going to be doing in the next 2 days, Kevin and Stephen DeWald of Blazers Edge is going to join us tomorrow night. We're going to talk about rotations in depth, how the Blazers are going to counterpunch the Pelicans on Tuesday. And then on Monday night, we're going to have editor-in-chief of Blazers Edge, David McKay, as well as our own editor-in-chief, Ali Cosell. With that being said, Kevin, there are some things to talk about in terms of rotations and stuff. And I want tonight to be a celebration. We don't have to necessarily criticize Ian Clark, Solomon Hill, Darius Miller, Cech Diallo, the guys that Alvin Gentry brought off the bench, because for the most part, these guys had a positive impact. They, like Ian Clark in the fourth quarter, that 3-point shot, we all thought that the game was falling away from us. When he hit that shot, I think it kind of restored the faith of the Pelicans fan base, as well as maybe the guys on the court. With that being said, Kevin, talk about some guys that might not have been part of that main four. Etuan Moore, of course, gave great defense. There was one possession specifically early in the third quarter where CJ McCollum was fighting over a screen. He was trying to get some looks early on, trying to get going. Etuan Moore fought over the screen so hard, he got pulled by whoever the guy was setting the pick, but he still got there in time to thwart CJ McCollum from his 3-point jumper, and he had to get rid of the ball. Etuan Moore was fighting all game long in his 27 minutes. And of course, you've got Cech Diallo, Darius Miller, Solomon Hill, Ian Clark. Of those five guys, who do you think made the biggest impact, and who do you look to make another impact like it in game two?
Well, yeah, I mean, Ian Clark and Etuan Moore had the biggest impact of those guys because of Ian's shot. And then Moore, like you said, was doing a pretty nice job on CJ McCollum early. And while we're talking about matchups, I just want to say, like, you know, we did see exactly what David Fisher had said we would see if we put Rondo on Evan Turner, which is what he and I both hoped, is that they would but it was David who said that, you know, that would bait them into posting him up on Rondo, and then that would you know, get them to run their offense through that a little bit and get them out of what they really want to do. And then that's, you know, it's not an efficient shot for him, and especially if you are able to allow Anthony Davis to, you know, play center field on that. So that was nice to see that as well. But I think, you know, it's weird. You look at this game and you would say, you know, the things that we talked about going into it is that we have to worry about them getting offensive rebounds. And also the other thing that we need to worry about is giving up easy turnovers, because they're not a team that creates turnovers. And we did both of those things wrong in this game, but we still won because of that defense and those matchups that we had. But I think the guy that really needs to, you know, I think it's just he was pressing too much, probably too jacked up, too excited, is Cech Diallo, because we're going to need him going forward, because those rebounding numbers, you know, they're going to stay like that. They're a good offensive rebounding team, and we're going to need another guy that can get rebounds. We're going to need a guy that can spell Davis and Mirotić, and we don't think it's going to be a Mecca Okafor, not because we don't think he can do it, but because we think that Alvin Gentry doesn't want to put him out there because he wants to play a faster tempo. So we need Cech to settle down. You know, he made a couple of nice plays tonight, but mostly he just seemed like he was pressing. So hopefully that evens out for him. And he gets the jitters out in this game, and he's ready to roll next game, because I don't know if it's razor burn or what, but it seemed, you guys notice how red Mirotić's face gets? Like, he's puffing out there. Like, he looked like Tom Coughlin on the sidelines, like that red, you know? So I'm hoping that we can give these guys somebody will step up in that department, even if it's like a Darius Miller to stretch the floor. If it's not a rebounding thing, if we just bail on trying to get offensive rebounds, but we need another guy to play the four. To give these guys some breaks.
Now, all four of the Pelican starters played 39 minutes or more. I'm sorry, I don't know who I just cut off. I was going to throw it to Ali next. Did you want to say something, David?
No, actually, it was me.
Okay, yeah. Ali, go for it.
Yeah, I just wanted to interject real quickly. The Blazers scored 50 points of their 95 on either second chance points or fast break points. That's why I don't think too many adjustments are needed. I don't think that the rotations need to be juggled too much. The Pelicans just need to improve their fundamentals, guys. Pelicans committed 14 turnovers, which, you know, in the first half of the season, honestly, isn't a big number for them. But the fact that the Blazers, who score, I think, what did I say, on average, 8 points something fast break points a game, and they had 29. Right. They had 29 right. on turnovers. I'm telling you guys, you just got to tighten that up. And like we've been always preaching, is the second chance points, 15 offensive rebounds. I'm honestly kind of impressed that the Blazers only end up with 21 second chance points. So think about it. You cut off, you know, that's cutting off the head of the snake right there. If you can just eliminate all those extra points the Pelicans gave up, all those easy points, then suddenly you don't have to worry about Damian Lillard or CJ McCollum or whoever exploding. Because guess what? You've suddenly eliminated 20 to 30 points that, honestly, they shouldn't have had. So I don't think too many adjustments are needed. I just think they need to look at the game tape, look at what went wrong, and just the players need to just ingest of handling the moment. Because, you know, we saw that in the fourth quarter. It kind of got big for them. I mean, those turnovers, some of those passes were iffy. Some of those decisions they made were really iffy. So the fact that they went through it, that the fact that they walked away with the win is going to be huge going forward. But as far as adjustments, precedent, guys, I don't think they need to make too much. They just got to clean up their act, and I think they'll be fine. And honestly, I think tonight they showed that they're the better team to me. I mean, I know that, you know, the Blazers didn't have their games that they expect, especially out of their stars. But you know what? That's kind of been the standard all season in all four matchups, where somehow both of those, their backcourt has not been reigning supreme. I just think it's a testament to our guys, AD, as you mentioned, Preston, who didn't get enough love. He's going to have his huge game of 35 plus. And then you've got Drew Holiday, who contributes 20 points and incredible defense. So the Pelicans don't need to do too much. They just need to clean up their act.
All right, let's throw it over to David, and then we're going to get some predictions and get out of here. Of course, it was a 14-0 run in the second quarter. The Pelicans have really been capitalizing on these teams on these bench unit runs against the Clippers. It was between the second and the third. It was 33-4 against the Spurs. I can't remember exactly what it was. I think it was 19-4, and this one is 14-0. That's one storyline that you can pick. The other one is that the Blazers only played Jusuf Nurkić 25 minutes, and they gave Ed Davis 20 minutes in this one. And I think a lot of that can be attributed to Nikola Mirotic's 40% shooting from three-point range. Would you expect a heavier dosage of Jusuf Nurkić in game two? Do you think they'll kind of stick to their own rotations? How would you expect the Blazers to adjust?
Blazers have played their bigs. You know, I think every one of them is getting at least 12 minutes a game throughout the course of the season. It's what they do. They like to keep their guys fresh. And I think it's the Pelicans that's a smart strategy because Ed Davis, you saw, he was very active around the glass. He, you know, had some offensive putbacks, a lot of rebounds. You know, I think he causes problems when he's on the floor and he's playing well. The two guys on their bench that I'm always thinking about are Napier and Ed Davis, because they are the most active guys that Portland brings off their bench. But I don't think that Nurkic's issue tonight was, you know, I think the style of play was where Portland kind of wanted it. But Nurkic was missing some shots, and defensively, he just wasn't playing at his best. I think he missed some bunnies. And I think that they just wanted to get out and be able to pressure a little bit better. They went smaller for a while. And I think they'll make their adjustment as the game goes on. You know, each game in a playoff series is its own game. They a lot of times I don't think things carry over from one game to the next. You know, the best player still is going to be the best player, and that's Anthony Davis. But we have to see, you know, is Drew going to do this again? And we want him to. We don't want him to be a 10-point scorer in the next game. We want him to keep doing this. We want to see Rondo be playoff Rondo again. But we'd also like to see Darius Miller make a shot. You'd also like to see, you know, Solomon Hill be able to get on the floor. And I mean, he hit one shot tonight, and that's great. But you want to see him be able to get on the floor and contribute in other ways. And like you said, with Cheick Diallo, you're going to need him at some point. So I think that's the thing with the Pelicans now is, can you sustain this? Don't go into game two thinking you've got one in pocket, because we've seen them struggle at home to close teams out on occasion. So go into game two like it's game one, and you want to steal that one as well. And go home up 2-0. And if they do that, then we're talking about, you know, a whole different series here. Then I think, you know, I predicted this game series to go 7. Most people say 6, you know, and there are a few calling 5. But I think, I mean, if they go back home up 2-0, it's going to be crazy at the Smoothie King Center next Thursday.
All right, we're going to get some brief previews of game two, from, or predictions, I should say, from Kevin, Ollie, and David. And then we're going to let you guys plug your stuff because there's a lot of content that's flinging out in the next couple of days. This is a great time to be a Pelicans fan, blogger, writer, all that stuff. Kevin, game two on Tuesday. The Trailblazers are going to shoot better. They're going to make some adjustments. How do you see it going?
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely going to shoot better. They're still going to out-rebound us, and I think we're going to clean up the turnover situation that we had. But, you know, I like I said, I think this is a very evenly matched series, not style of play, but quality of team quality of team play. So I think, you know, I always said it was going to be a 6 or 7 game series, and if it's 6, the Pelicans win, and if it's 7, Portland won it. But I think we're going to drop the next one and then get the next 2 at home. So I think, you know, it's hard to win back-to-back nights on the road like that, especially in a playoff environment, especially after such an emotional, you know, collapse and then rise again kind of game. And you know that those guys, that Portland is going in the locker room saying, you know, we didn't shoot our best. We're gonna come out differently the next game, and they're going to come out with something to prove in their home stadium. So I think, you know, it's a really tough situation to win in, and it's nothing to look down on the team for thinking that they lose. But then again, if the Pelicans were to win, it wouldn't surprise me. I just think it's such an evenly matched series.
All right, Ollie, you're next.
This one's tough to call because, like David said, it's like a different game every single playoff game, and he's absolutely right. What if the referees decide to call it just a little bit closer? Suddenly you change the entire, you know, the complexity of the game as to where suddenly free throws are a huge factor, and that's something that Portland, I think, really lacked and missed tonight, getting those easy buckets, easy shots from the free throw line. That's how Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum always get themselves going when they're struggling, and they really weren't able to do that tonight. But that being said, let's just say if it's called tightly again, then I think, honestly, I'm going to give the edge to Pelicans. I mean, they built up a very impressive lead, and they had a really good effort there in the second and third quarters as to where they honestly were the superior team. Their offense flowed, their defense shut down, whatever the Portland Trail Blazers wanted to do. And it took a really sizable, almost collapse by the Pelicans in the fourth to, you know, bring this down to the final minutes of the game. So I expect for the Pelicans, honestly, to learn more than the Blazers did. I mean, remember, I've been tweeting this out. I've been writing about the Blazers came into this playoff series as the coldest shooting outside team in the league. And tonight, I think they shot about 30% from three, and they closed out the game 40% from three in the second half. So I think the Blazers, you can't expect them to play that much better, honestly. It's a playoff atmosphere, and we've got to start giving some credit to the Pelicans' defense. We know McCollum and Lillard are great shooters, but you know what? The Pelicans' defense is great. With Drew Holiday and the game planning that everybody else does to take away their big guns, you got to expect that to be there as well. So I'm going to say that the Pelicans are going to pull off the victory simply because I picked this series to, you know, be over in 5 games. So I'm going to stick to it, and I'm going to say the Pelicans eke out a victory. Even though I'm going to say Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, one of those two guys is really going to go off. But I think that the Pelicans will be able to absorb that.
All right. What about you, David?
I think just like Kevin, I think it's hard to be in Portland and win back-to-back games. I think the Pelicans will continue to beat up on CJ McCollum. He has not played well against the Pelicans the entire season. I think he's averaging 15 points against them. And just not shooting the ball well at all. So if they can continue to hold McCollum down, I think they'll stay in this game. But I don't expect Lillard to play as poorly as he did for a second game. I do expect him to get to the line a little bit more. And then, it's always tough to expect Drew to follow up offensively the game that he had tonight. He was so efficient on the offensive end. Except for a couple of bad passes. I think the Blazers eke this one out and we'll go back 1-1. But it'll be a very close game again.
All right, that's it for now. Tomorrow we'll be back with Kevin and Stephen DeWald of Blazers Edge. And on Monday we'll have boss man Ali Cosell, an editor to Blazers Edge, award-winning journalist Mr. David McKay. I want to take a moment and just apologize for my lack of preparation. I wanted to give you guys the most raw reaction we possibly could. I wanted it to happen the night of so that you could get just a sense of our jubilation and have this ready for you guys on Sunday morning so that you guys can enjoy your day and kind of whistle your way until Tuesday. With that being said, we've got a lot of stuff coming at you guys. Check out thebirdrights.com for everything from X factors to rotations to any manner of things that we've got great stuff from Zach, from Trevor, from Kevin and Travis. Ali is consistently writing great stuff. And also at Crescent City Sports. David, why don't you take a moment and why don't you plug some of the stuff you're working on?
Yeah, so obviously my article about the game will be up tomorrow on CrescentCitySports.com. And then every Thursday from 12:20 to 4 o'clock, I am on KYOK Radio in Houston talking a wide range of sports. And I try to sit in with Roe Brown on WBOK this Friday. We'll be talking, of course, Pelicans basketball and getting ready for the Saints season coming up too.
Very cool. We're always so appreciative, David Grubb. He's always available when we need him. Thank you so much for your time, sir. Ali Cosell, our editor. What have you got going on, sir?
I got to go write the recap now. I'm glad it settled me down a little bit, because otherwise all it was going to consist of the actual article. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Kevin, any thoughts that you're going to take us out here? So the pressure is all on you. Give us your reaction. Give us like just the feelings and the thoughts of a New Orleans Pelicans fan in the city of New Orleans taking away game one of a playoff series. Anthony Davis, we've been thinking all year long, this guy's frustrated. He wants to leave. Injury concerns. Alan Gentry, Dell Demps on the hot season, on the hot seat. Excuse me. Take us out of here, Kevin. How much like joy comes with a game one victory in the playoffs?
I mean, it's amazing. And I wanted to chime in a little bit earlier when you were asking David, comparing this to the Hornets and Lakers series, which one was more important, getting wins in those series. And I feel like this one definitely is, because I feel like this one is more our team. You know, during the, you know, we were just given the Hornets. Everybody here had their own basketball team and had allegiance to other teams, and then we were given this one. We all had to sort of joint follow this team all of a sudden out of the blue. And then after a while, you know, you start to learn about ownership issues, and our superstar seems disgruntled, and he's gonna leave. But now this team is, you know, locally owned. It has an identity that reflects the city more. We have a superstar that's continually pledged his allegiance to the city. And, you know, I feel like he's a better superstar than the one we had. I mean, that's up for debate for other people. Personally, I like him more than I like CP3. So I'm more excited about this team. And I feel like this team has more depth and more character, I think, than any other team that we've had in a while. So for me, it's just, you know, a great new chapter in New Orleans basketball. And it's something that we should all be excited for. And hopefully, you know, this is going to push this team to achieving closer of a level in the city's hearts as the Saints. I know it probably will never make it that way all the way to the top to an even level, but hopefully, you know, we're ascending and it's spreading throughout. And, you know, I work in a bar that's super popular where people come in all the time, and I am seeing tons of Pelicans gear now. And it's a very good thing to see. You know, I used to always see tons of other teams' gear in there, but now it's, you know, a ton of Pelican stuff every day, which is, you know, it's fun. And I'm glad the city's embracing this team.
I'm your host, Preston Ellis. Tomorrow, we'll be back with Kevin and Stephen DeWald of Blazers Edge. On Monday, we'll have David McKay and Ali Cosell. For now, let's go, Pels. We hope you've enjoyed listening to the Bird Calls on OTG and Nothing But Net here on Dash Radio. If you like what you're hearing, please take a moment to rate us on iTunes, retweet, share with your friends, and most importantly, subscribe today.
Today's show was brought to you by SAP. Who am I and how am I feeling? I'm Clive Owen and I'm feeling great, thanks. How about you? You feeling happy? A little angry? People have so many feelings, millions of them. But what if businesses could really understand all of those feelings and then act on them to make their customers feel better? It's a thing. It's SAP Experience Management, and it's here. Because the future of business has feelings, and I've got a feeling we're all going to like it. Go to sap.com/xm to learn more.
Technology Truths, brought to you by GEICO.
Technology Truths.
Truth. Teenagers can communicate entirely in emojis.
How was the birthday party? Pizza slice, kitten, soccer ball, pineapple?
Truth. It's so easy to switch and save on car insurance at GEICO.com.
What are you talking about? Paperclip, shoulder shrug, high five, wizard hat? What?
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.